Hey guys, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. So here's what we got today. OSHA issued a citation for the deaths from the February 1st accident in West Virginia, okay? If you remember, and refresh your memories, if you don't want to hear this, you know, sorry. But I'm just going to bring it up. There were two deaths for tower climbers and one death for a fire worker on February 1st of this year, 2014. And what happened was two gentlemen, one was 32, and the other one was a younger fella at 27. And they both died when the tower collapsed. And then a firefighter died because he was in the wreckage when the second tower collapsed. I have everything in my blog. I think it'd be just better if you read that and got more information on their names and their dates and addresses. They were two climbers were from Oklahoma, and the firefighter obviously was a local fella from the Nutter Fort firefighter. He was from the Nutter Fort Fire Company, and they're in Clarksburg, West Virginia. So anyway, I just have a hard time bringing it up because I think of the families. It's got to be hard for them. You know, I know I'm going to get off on a tangent here, but families, some families are happy that we make examples of these accidents and we learn from them. Other families just don't want to hear about it, so I'll drop it. Anyways, what I do want to talk about is that OSHA issued a citation, two citations, for the climbers. One had to do with the way they were removing the cross members without having additional braces or brackets in place. That was a $7,000 fine. So that one, you know, in my opinion, I know I go back to this, but it's poor planning, right? That's how I see it. They should have had a better plan in place. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the guys assumed the tower could hold it. They thought the tower was solid. They could remove a couple brackets. I don't know. I mean, the only way to talk to it, there was a third guy there, see, talk to him and see what the plan was. That's probably the best we could do at this point. So, with all of that said, the second citation was because they found a personal fall arrest system that was not rated for 5,000 pounds, and they got a fine for that for another $7,000. So the way OSHA issues these citations, I said fines, but they're citations, is they call them serious citations, and if you want to read about it, I actually have the PDF that they sent to SNS Communications. They posted it in the blog, so go ahead and look at that. And I just want you guys to realize that I think OSHA's doing all they can. I don't know. I'd like to hear what you guys think. Is a fine high? Is a fine low? Do you think it should be more? I don't really understand how OSHA decides how much to, and it's my fault, I gotta research it. I don't understand how they decide the amount of the penalty. You know, when you think of the seriousness of what happened, you had two climbers lose their lives and a firefighter loses life. You had two towers collapse, one from the accident and one because it hit the second tower. And then, you know, when you think about it, whoever owned a tower, for once, a horrible accident. They got to deal with everyone being on their site for the investigation. And listen, it's more than just OSHA, right? You're going to have the police there, the firefighters there. Everyone's going to do their inspection. The company wants to do their own inspection. So you have all these people on a site. You have the tower owner that obviously is going to let everyone do their job. You know, he just hired these people to you know, reinforce a tower. And now the tower owner, whoever it is, he's down two towers. I'm sure he had something up there that was live. Maybe they were both. I can't believe on two towers he didn't have anything that was live. So whatever system he had, that's down. He's got to figure out how to get his system back up. In the midst of all this, I don't know whether, you know, I just am not familiar with the site. I don't know what other towers he has. Is he going to just move things over somewhere else? Is he just going to call his customers and say, hey, we're off the air for whatever it is, you know, whatever he had there? I don't know. You know, it's a thing I had to deal with. I've seen a lot of towers collapse when I say a lot, you know, maybe 10 to 15 in my lifetime, mostly due to ice, all right? Everyone worries about high winds, and I was in Florida once when, you know, a tornado rolled through. The tornado didn't take down many towers. It took a lot of antennas off. That I saw. You know, that was back in the days when a lot of people had sticks, and you'd look up in a tower and they were just gone. You know, those fiberglass sticks couldn't hold up. And that was a lot of the work down there, you know, replacing the sticks. Even in hurricanes, I haven't seen many towers go over in hurricanes. I'm sure it's happened, okay? Now, ice, I've seen a lot of towers collapse because of ice. A lot of towers. I can think of I can't think of all of them, but I can think of five or six off the top of my head that I saw collapse because of ice. And I'll tell you why. I think the engineering was poor. There was a cell company, I can't remember their name, they were bought out by somebody. They put up these crappy monopoles. They were crappy. They were scary to climb. In fact, a lot of tower companies wouldn't climb them. They were just scary. They had these crappy, the climbing pegs weren't attached. You know, they were held in by gravity, right? So if you pushed up on them, they came out. So if your knee hit one and it fell to the ground, well, you're without a climbing peg. You know, I remember those towers. They were awful. You know why they put them in? Cheap, cheap, cheap. The sound of their favorite bird. Cheap, cheap, cheap. So they put these in and they were just horrible to climb. And they didn't care. You know, the owner didn't care. He wasn't climbing them. You know, who was climbing them? We were. Schmucks. So a lot of times when we came up in a tower like that, it cost the whoever was doing the work, let's say a carrier in this case, cost them more because they had to bring out the crane or a lift. It's usually a crane, at least what I worked with. You know, I'm sure some guys had lifts to do work on the thing. So they're like, oh, we saved all this money, all this capital expense putting the tower in. Meanwhile, we got to pay for a lift or a crane to come out every time we want to, you know, see if there's water in a connector. So I'm just throwing that out there, guys. Now, I hate to say it, I'm sure you guys heard about AT&T's remote radio heads. They want to put, like, you know, thousands of pounds up on the top of a tower, and that's the way it's going, fellas. That's the way, if you're in wireless communications, that's the way it's going. They're going to put all this crap up on a tower. When I say crap, they're going to put the remote radio head. And when they talk about C-RAN, what the C-RAN is going to be is the same thing. The whole base station is going to be up in a tower. They're going to run power and fiber to it, and that's where it's going. Just think of a small cell. That's like a, let's say, anywhere from 100 milliwatt to a 5 or a 10 or a 40 watt a unit. But and they have two different kinds, right? They have one where the broadband unit's a separate unit, and they have another one where it's all in one. Like the 5 watt units are usually all in one, and they just put it out there. I know everyone thinks of Wi-Fi. There's a little more to it than Wi-Fi. Anyway, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but my point is, going to be 1,000 pounds additional weight up on the tower. They're going to do more antennas, or they're going to combine antennas into one panel, just because of MIMO, multiple in, multiple out, up on the tower. There's going to be more weight on the tower. So I would imagine they're going to beef up these towers in some way, shape, or form. And I think AT&T's really thought it through, because I think that's why they expect to have cranes out there to do a lot of the work. I'm not saying everywhere, but maybe where you can't get a crane, and this is why, you know, I bring up gin poles all the time. Maybe you'll use a gin pole to get everything up, because if AT&T is on the top of a tower, granted, it could only be a 200-foot or a 300-foot tower. If they're in the top, I'll tell you from experience, I've hung dishes at the top of the tower, and I have crews that I worked with. They hang a lot of dishes that are actually, you know, on a mount that actually is very top or a little above the top of the tower. There's a skill to it. You can't just, you know, rig the tower. You can't rig the tower on the mount, really. You might rip the mount off. That's the reality, especially pulling up like a 10-foot dish. And when they're pulling up, say, you know, these remote radio heads that are a couple hundred pounds, and if they're pulling up an entire bracket with two or three of these things on, I don't know how they're going to do it, okay? But let's say they're going to pull up the entire face. It's going to be very hard to rig to the top of the tower. They got to come up with some way to do it. A crane's going to be the easy way. They might have to do a gin pole if they can't get a crane in. And if any of you fellas did a new tower install, where the road, you know, you go back the dirt road or a mud or there is no road. You know, I had one tower site where we rode over rocks to get to the tower. I don't know how the guy built it. But anyway, my point is, beefing up towers, that's going to be a trend, right? Because it's just the way it's going to be. Here you have someone I don't know if they didn't have a proper process or what was going on, but look what it resulted in. It's not something you can just go out and do, fellas. It's something that you have to have a plan for. It's something that I would work with the manufacturer of the tower if they're still around. You know, tower companies have changed so many times. Or I would sure as hell talk to your engineers, your mechanical engineers, and figure out how to do it, because it's going to be something that you're going to have to figure out how to do. So I know I got off on a long tangent, but I just wanted to let you guys know that OSHA issued citations. And I thought it was a rather quick turnaround. I know it's 5 months later, but, you know, OSHA's doing what they can. They have to investigate, and they're going to inspect everything they can. I just wanted feedback from you guys to see what's fair. If you think it's fair, that's what I want to see. Do you think it's fair? Do you think OSHA should have done more? I don't know much about S&S. Seems to me they were fine before. I forget. I'll look up my other articles and link to them in my blog. But anyways, let me know what you guys think. I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but the reality is we're going to have to beef up more towers. Somebody's got to do it. And who's going to do it? You know, are they... They're going to put it out to bid, obviously, because they want to save money. But here's all I ask. If the carriers do this, whoever does this, and this is what broadcasters already do, we can learn a lot from broadcasting industry, from the tower workers and everything in broadcast. They're going to look at qualifications. They're going to look at references. I don't think there's going to be a lot of first-time people that do this. If it is someone first-time, they're going to look at the qualifications of the engineers, and I would imagine they want to see the process in which it's done. Now, process, what does that mean? Are they going to say, oh, well, they need to have safety equipment training, blah, blah, blah? Yeah, that's sort of, they should already be doing that. If anyone's not doing that, let me know. I mean, that's insane. So when I say process, they should say, hey, we're going to beef up the tower. Here's how. Now, I'm not saying every little detail, but, you know, we're going to weld brackets to the tower. Oh, you're going to weld brackets. It's a live tower. There's a lot of weight on top. Are you sure the tower can hold it? Yeah, here's what the engineer says. We're going to have an engineering report and look at it, an inspection, and so on and so on. Inspections are going to be huge because they're going to have to collect everything they can on the tower. And when you, I'm just going to use this because I saw them do it once. I never did it, but I was with a crew that did it. They welded these supports on a tower, not cross members. These were actually on the legs of the tower. But before they did that, they had to get a mechanical engineer to go in and look at the legs. They had to, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I should have researched this before I did this, huh? But they wanted to make sure they were solid legs, if I remember right. They put big angles over the legs to beef it up. And they had to make sure everything was off that leg when they welded to it. The other thing is the welders had to be really good, because if they get it too weak, you know, you got a problem, obviously, because there's weight on the leg. And they did it from the bottom to about 20 foot from the top. They beefed it up right to where they were going to mount their equipment. Then they went back, and if I remember right, they beefed up the cross members. And I don't remember how they did that. I think they replaced some, and I think other ones they added. I think they actually added some. Trying to remember. I think that was in Maryland. So anyways, it gives you an idea, right? There's a process. There's a plan. You can't just go out and wing it, right? I would like to think whoever asks for this will also ask for all the paperwork, the detail, the plan. And the other thing they're going to have to be is flexible. What I mean by that is, so the mechanical engineer finds a problem, and suddenly you can't follow the plan, right? You do the inspection, and he comes back and says, you know, they're hollow legs. They're not solid, just for example, or something like that. Or the angle's rusted, or we found problems, or there's, you know, bolts missing, whatever. So you're going to have to do all this extra work. You're going to have to be flexible or find a new site. So, and trust me, site acquisition is not quick. Ask all these guys in site acquisition. Not an easy job. Finding the site's the easy part. The permitting, the planning, getting approvals, takes forever. takes forever no matter what you do, because the cities, townships, one, they want to make a buck, right? Two, they want to know what's out there. That's their story. Personally, a lot of these guys, I think they just want to make a buck, because worked with a lot of inspectors. Half of them never went to the tower sites. So when I say inspectors, I mean the guys that cared about what was on the tower. Electrical inspectors, they have a lot more to lose if there's a problem with the electrical system. Anyway, I shouldn't lump them together. I apologize. So with all that said, here's the deal. If you're going to take on tower enforcement work like these guys did, better have a pretty good plan. These citations are an example of what could, well, not the citations. The accident is an example of what could happen when things go wrong. Now, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. We can all speculate. And trust me, I've seen it all. And I hate to rehash this for these poor families to go through the speculation again and the fault. But with all that said, I just want you guys to realize if you're going to take on this work, this is serious work, okay? This isn't something you aren't just going to hang it in a tower and say, oh, the tower can hold it. And trust me, I've been through a lot of those. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to make sure you have a plan. You're going to make sure that you have the drawings and the information from the mechanical engineer or the civil engineer, whoever they hire, right, from the engineering firm. If that's you guys, great. Make sure the guy knows what he's doing. This isn't something you just wing. This isn't something you just go out and say, well, hell, they just said put bigger brackets in. Let's go do it. It's not that easy, guys. And I don't think we should take it lightly. I think this is serious work. I think if you don't have people in your crew that's done it before, I think you should question that. I think you should say, listen, a lot of climbers, they say, well, we've never done this before, but how hard can it be? Well, look at this. That's how hard it can be. I mean, you want to go home at night or not? Huh? In this case, for this work, you don't want to get in over your head. I think if you can't do this work, and you know you can't do this work, and you know what this work is, don't bid on it. That's what I say. Don't bid on it. Bid on the work that you know you can do. All right? All right, I'm done preaching. Sorry, but that I, you know, you got to put some common sense into this, okay? Listen, a lot of you climbers, I know the ones that don't own a company, if your company bid on this and then you read about it, let's say you won the work, you really have to question what they're bidding on, okay? You should talk to the estimator and say, hey, we can't do this. I mean, just be honest. It sucks. You know, we all want the work. We don't want to look stupid. But the reality is, what's going to look worse? You know, you get out there and something goes awry like this, or you just tell them up front, we can't do this. All right, just something to think about. I wanted to do something else this week, something a little lighter, but when I saw this come out, I wanted to be relevant. I wanted to give you guys all the links. There's a ton of articles out there about it, and there's a lot of good information. And they say that OSHA now accounts for 9 deaths attributed to tower work, so I counted 8. And this is out of the one article from WBOY.com. And they say that there's 9 deaths attributed to tower work. So I'm thinking maybe that guy that fell off the scaffolding might be attributed to it, and may he rest in peace. I got a comment in my blog about that, that they think maybe he wasn't tied off properly, that there's an accident there. And hopefully OSHA will come out with a statement about that. You know, that poor guy. He was an older fella, too. He was I think he was 41 or 42. He's almost my age. Anyway, I'm around 50. So anyway, just so you guys know, that OSHA is looking into this. I know that OSHA is trying to work on more stuff. You know, they're limited in resources. And I do think that they look at the tower industry as a small industry. That's why they haven't been paying attention. But if we can make enough noise, and obviously there's enough accidents out there, 2 years in a row, fellas, 14 last year, or 13 last year, 9 this year so far. I just can't believe that doesn't warrant more attention, you know. It just seems like a lot of these accidents could have been are preventable, okay? Sometimes bad things happen. That's the reality of the business. But if we can prevent it, let's prevent it. So I hope you guys have a very, I hope you enjoy your weekend. One. Two, I hope you have a safe week and a safe year. And I hope there are no more accidents this year. Okay, let's be smart about this. If I could reach more people, I would. I can only do what I can do. And I just wish you all to be safe, be smart, and pay attention to what you're doing. And prior to going up in the tower, make sure you have a plan. Those tailgate meetings are pretty important for a lot of reasons. Boy, the more you hear about these things, you know, the safety plan, the rescue plan, the first aid kit, and, you know, I bring up the trauma kits again from Lane Faulkner. You know, I mean, you can get them anywhere, but I just like the guy. And his brother Mike gives me a lot of information too. So, but with all that said, just have a plan. Be as safe as you can be. The safety equipment matters. If you feel that your company isn't getting you the safety equipment you need, I think we need to question that. You know, you need to bring it up. If you feel things are missing, need to bring it up. If you feel you don't have the good, if you feel your training isn't enough, talk about it. The other thing I think is, I was just talking to someone that's talking about starting another training school, and I think that's good. I think the more training we have out there is good, as long as everyone that is training the people is qualified. It seems like a lot of these guys are overqualified, which is excellent. That's what you want. You want someone who's overqualified, that when they take you out climbing, when they take you out to train you, to rescue somebody, you feel very confident in what they can do, makes you feel more confident in what you can do. And I'll tell you what, you're going to remember them. I bring up from all you guys that don't like Comtrain. Years ago, when I got trained on Comtrain, Winton Wilcox was my teacher. And we had we had several climbers. I took a lot of classes, which is what you guys should do. You should update your classes. I took the climbing class. I took the instructor class. They had additional classes for instructors, which I brought up before, was always on the weekend. I don't know why the hell we had to have it over the weekend, but it was always on the weekend, and I'm not complaining. That was in Wisconsin, the weekend in Wisconsin. But Winton Wilcox taught me a lot, and he's retired now, but I think he sold the company. But the reason I bring it up is your instructor should affect you like that, I believe. Whether you're trained in-house or whether you're trained by another company, you should remember your instructor. You should remember the guy you had your first climb with. You should remember that advice that you get from these people. And, you know, when you work out at tower sites and other climbers are there, usually you only have one crew on a tower at a time. However, I have climbed with other crews, and as long as you know what you're doing and you know what your job is, that's fine. You just need to be aware that each other out there and what you're doing. It's very important that you each know what the other one's doing. Anyway, getting off that, you should remember those guys. I remember a lot of guys I climbed with. I don't always remember their names, but I remember what they were doing. I remember climbing with different people. Even in Virginia, I climbed with this guy who was he was out of Texas, but he was a pretty good guy, pretty cool guy. And he and I sat up there in the tower, tied off, talked for maybe 45 minutes. And I can't remember his name, but I remember he's a good guy. I have his company written down. I do know his company. I'm not going to say it, but his specialty was electrical and the light bulbs, the lighting systems on the towers. And I hung with him for, I remember, 45 minutes we talked. I was doing my work, he was doing his work. And we were that close, you know, and we just kept, having a conversation in the air. It was nice. It was a relaxing job for me. I knew exactly what I had to do. Of course, you know, he knew the electrical system of that tower like the back of his hand, because that was one of his towers. The guy took care of, like, across the U.S., seemed like over 100 towers of the lighting systems. Anyway, I'm back. I'll let you guys go. Be safe this week. Be smart this week, and pay attention to what you're doing, and make sure you have a plan, okay? Tailgate meetings, very important. I know we complain about OSHA, but OSHA, I think, is doing what they can. I had that conversation with myself. I had that monologue where I talked last week about OSHA's new directive for bringing people up and down on a hoist. And if you're like me, you're like, how many people go up and down on a hoist? If you're in broadcast, they probably do it all the time, right? They go up much higher I don't know how that's going to change our industry. I wonder in communications, I don't know how it's, you know, how many of you guys out there actually have a hoist. Now, I'm not talking a capstan winch. It's a huge difference. Capstan, you should not be on a capstan. And I didn't even see it mentioned there, but I wish it would make that clarification. Capstan is not meant for human loads, all right? I still feel that way. You guys, correct me if I'm wrong. All right, be safe, be smart, be careful, and pay attention. I said it enough times now, you think it'd be sinking in sooner or later, you'd be complaining about it. All right, guys, take care.